Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Katanek is an Australian singer and songwriter. He released his first single, Life, in 2019, with his follow-up singles, Astronomy and Take Us Back, in 2020. He supported Pete Murray on his Summer Sessions tour, and Katanek was recognized as a semi-finalist in the International Songwriting Competition. In 2020, he was announced as the People's Choice winner for The Cube Effect, and followed that up with the releases of the singles Valentine and Sunday. In 2022, Katanek played the role of Jerry Sheff in the Baz Luhrmann movie Elvis and released Way Down in 2023. His next single, Lights of Tokyo, debuted at number 9 on the AMRAP charts, with Katanek performing at various music festivals and events, including the FIFA Fan Fest, again supporting Pete Murray at his NYD gig, and the Agnes Blues Roots and Rock Festival. His music has received significant airplay on several major stations, including Triple J Unearthed, Double J Radio, ABC Radio, BBC Introducing Radio Solent in the UK, Amazing Radio in both the UK and the US, Oz Now, and many more. And he reached number 1 on the A-Break music playlist for Honeycomb and Hurricane. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Katanek.
So where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It is currently 7 p.m. at night here in Brisbane, Australia.
Why and where does the name Katanek come from? How did you choose that?
So the long version of that story is I was in another band at the time, and I kind of wanted to branch off and do my own thing, be like a solo artist. And so at that time, I didn't have a name for the project. I was just kind of me. And then I went and recorded down in Melbourne, and the person I was recording with, Ben McCarthy, he goes, "Oh, so what are you calling yourself? You know, you need a really cool stage name." And I'm like, "Oh, Dylan." He goes, "That sucks. Call yourself something better." He goes, "Like, what about you know, your last name?" I'm like, "Katanek?" And he's like, "Yeah. Spell it cool though. Spell it cool." I went away and workshopped it a little bit, and that's how I ended up with Katanek. It's just my last name, but instead of being the correct spelling, it's spelled phonetically.
Oh, cool. I like that story.
I like the way he said that Dylan sucks. That's so funny. Well, let's rewind to the very beginning. At what age did you feel cool, whether as a teenager or as a child, that you are creative, that you want to be in the creative world, creating music, and how did that journey progress to where we are today?
Ever since I can remember, which I can't tell you what age that is. It could be 3, it could be 8. Whenever sentience started, I wanted to be a musician. Both my father and my uncle were playing at bands for as long as I can remember, since I was a kid. And so I basically grew up watching live music every other weekend my entire life. I'm pretty much indoctrinated into it from the start. So I learned several instruments all the way up until high school to when I kind of branched off and did my own thing. And I always wanted to be a musician, but I didn't think I was good enough in the early years, in my teen years. So I actually switched into sound engineering, and I did that for a number of years at like a small venue, and you know, I did a couple of festivals as part of my uni course. But doing it, I found that it wasn't for me. I didn't get the same enjoyment as being an artist, so I set out to kind of start my own band, and I started that when I was like 18 or 19, I think, and then that went on for a number of years, and then a short while after that, that's where the recording in Melbourne for my own solo project kind of came. And from that time on, I think it's been 6 years, I've been Katanek.
Okay, so you said there was a period of time where you felt that you weren't good enough, which led to sound engineering. So when you went back into and had the realization that sound engineering wasn't for you, at that point, did you think, okay, I am good enough now? Or was it still a process before you felt that?
So the sound engineering, I'd kind of been on the way out of it. I just, you know, like, not that I'm sharing any secrets when I say this, but a lot of the people in sound engineering are grumpy. grumpy people that are afraid that you're going to take their job. And, you know, they would just not that fun to be around. I'm a pretty fun guy and I like to be fun, and they do not like to be fun. And so all during this time, I've been writing music. I've written hundreds of songs up until this point. And like, being real, the majority of them were really bad. And so I'd kind of been honing my craft. And I had three or four songs that I'd shown my uncle. And he was like, you know what? These aren't half bad. Like, let me send these to someone. And he sent them to Ben McCarthy. And he went, nah, dude, these are killer songs. Like, you've got to come to Melbourne. We have to record these. So from that point, I think it was Ben McCarthy telling me, like, I've got to come to Melbourne and I've got to record these songs, that really gave me that, okay, you know, maybe I can do this. Maybe it is possible that people will like what I'm doing. And I mean, that's certainly pretty true. The first song that I released as Katanak, which I think was either Astronomy or Life, it has 130,000 plays on it, which was pretty cool. So clearly people enjoyed it.
So when you got that feedback from Ben McCarthy and him saying, cool, come to Melbourne, these are fantastic, were you surprised or was it like, oh, okay, maybe I'm okay?
I mean, it was one of those things where that was the end goal. I wanted
to be alive. Exactly.
So majority of the time, it's your own self-perception that's stopping you from being the best. Not that, no, I'm the best. What, you know, it's one of those things where you're probably a lot better than you give yourself credit for. It takes somebody on the outside to go, nah, man, this is good. Like, in a fans hear it.
Okay, so you've referenced writing songs. So from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, is it easy every time? What motivates it? What invigorates it? Do you write by yourself, collaborate with others? Let's unpack your creative process and brain.
I enjoy writing with other people. I often find that's the hardest part, though, not because working with someone else is hard, but because when you're not in the same room, it's really difficult to convey an idea and like really build off it when the other person has no idea what you're doing on the other side. When you're sitting in the same room as them and you go, oh, here's this riff, and they go, that's sick, try this. It's a lot easier when you can hand them the guitar and then they do it. But majority of the time, I write by myself. And I really enjoy writing by myself. And to answer the first part of the question, it's not always easy. It's been really difficult. And it never gets easier. It gets quicker, but it never gets easier. You know, it's one of those things where a lot of the songs that I've written and that have been released, you could call it divine intervention. It's one of those things where it just happens. And
yes,
it all comes out in 1 hour. You know, I wrote a song yesterday. The day before. I wrote the entire song in like this 30 minutes. And it's literally one of the best songs I've ever written, and it's because I was writing about my daughter. You know, it's one of those things where I had my daughter 2 weeks ago. And
oh, congratulations.
Thank you. It's one of those things where it's one of those moments where the emotion's real and you can feel it, and the song sings that without even meaning words. You know, that was a really quick experience, and it's literally my favorite song. Not because I'm biased or anything.
Got it.
But it feels right. Whereas I've spent months and months and months and years on songs that haven't been released that I loved, but I just can't get them to that final step. And that could probably be the perfectionist in me, but those songs just didn't happen in 1 minute. Like, I've been working on songs for years. I've got one song that hasn't come out that I've had since 2016. That I love and I want to put out there, but I just don't like it enough. Like, I don't think it's up to par with the other stuff that I've got, but I really love it. So I keep workshopping it year after year until I'm, you know, hoping that eventually I'll find something that works.
When you're in this process of having a song since 2016 and you keep processing it or workshopping it, as you reference, that doesn't even get frustrating?
I hate it. Because I love the songs. I love them. And I hate that I can't put them out there as they are because they're not up to scratch. Or look, at the end of the day, I could put them out there and nothing would change. You know, people wouldn't, if I never opened my mouth, people would just assume that's the exact way that I wanted the songs to be.
Yes.
And that would be the end of it. No one would ever question it because they went, oh, he's released it. That's clearly what he was going for. But to me, I know a day can be better. There's always something that can be better. And it's that probably good mindset to have. But it's just the way that I work. And that's so when I release something, more often than not, I'm quite happy with the product.
I love me a CD. I love the energy exchange between myself and you guys because it's hard work that you put something together. I love the journey of the choice, the experience, unpacking, the listen from song, wine to whatever number, the booklet, all those bits and bobs. I'm not sure if you're aware, all physicals, massive comeback. Vinyls alone in the UK, 5.9 million sales last year, the biggest since 1990. Cassettes on an upward trajectory, CDs in the UK as well. Now, there's a basket of products in the UK where people gauge the prices based on exchanges, and on that, they, you know, they gauge the taxes. And CDs have been out of the basket, but it's been put back in the basket again because of the upsurge of purchases. And the research is showing it's all the younger kids, the teenagers, the early 20s that are buying it, not the older nostalgic people. So those are our people are diving into the physical world. But we've also got these digital platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I mean, here in Australia, I know that streaming platforms are extremely popular. And there is a small portion of the market that does love vinyls and love cassettes and love CDs. But it's one of those things where I see those things very popular with bigger bands. If you have a solid fan base that's willing to spend the money on you, that stuff can work. I'm not quite at the level where putting in the money to get an amount of these things would probably make me that money back at this stage. So it's one of those things where you have to really assess just how loyal your fan base is to spending money on you. Because vinyls these days are pretty expensive. That's certainly not cheap to manufacture. You'd want to have people that are willing to pay the money to listen to your music in that regard. And I'm sure I do, but here in Australia, I actually kind of have the majority of my fan base over in the UK and America. So it's a bit tougher.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
Everything. The rush, the feeling, seeing people's reactions to the music that I make, you know, conveying my emotions on stage and having people relate to them is a big one. You know, I love performing in a band, but I also really like performing solo acoustic because, you know, it conveys a completely different tone and a different message. You can be a lot more personal in that regard. So I just love everything, the slow stuff, the heavy stuff, the fast stuff, the acoustic. It all is something different that is enjoyable. It just is the passion of music.
So I've got a point of discussion around this. I'm that dude that's right up in front. I'm dancing, I'm jamming. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two photos, one or two video clips, and I'll put my phone away. These days, a lot of people have their phones out for a lot of time during the show. And you reference seeing people's faces. But now, if you're seeing half a face and the rest is the cell phone, does that bother you in the sense that you find it's taking people out of the moment, or it's just where society is at this stage?
I've done that previously. I've been the kind of, not always, but I've been the kind of person to record a song and I've never gone back to it. Every single time, I've never gone back and watched it. And I would hazard a pretty solid guess that 99% of the people that do that don't either. Or if they do, it's one time. Life is short. And concerts, especially artists that you pay a lot of money to go and see, they don't just come around once a week. They're once a year, if you're lucky. So if you're paying all of this money to go and see them, truly see them. I've performed a gig where we had a bit of a smaller venue, so it was quite a small setup where we were playing, having the time of our lives, and these group of girls come up and they like pull out their phones, they record us, they act like they're having a great time, and then they put their phone away and walk away. And it's like, hold on a sec, I just use this clip for clout or whatever it is that you're trying to do.
That's weird. I'm sorry. I've noticed lately a handful of people as well. Is that the people in front, it's their favorite artists, but they turn around so the back is facing the stage. They're filming themselves singing the song with the artist like 5 centimeters in the background. and it's a favorite artist, and yet they want all the focus to be on them. And I was like watching this, and I'm like, how bizarre. Like, it's just the weirdest thing. Anyway.
Yeah, but like I said, if you're paying all this money, watch the artist, because, you know, you might be filming them from your perspective. They're looking at you being like, really? You paid $700 to come and see me, and you're not even going to look at me?
Yeah, I know. Like, not to make it self-centered, but...
No.
You know.
No, but yeah. But they make... Exactly. They're making it all about them, and no, not about the experience.
It's just going to say social media these days is... It's only for social media. You know, they post it. Look at me. I'm having such a great time. I don't care. Enjoy yourself, but don't tell me about it. I don't need to know.
Exactly. Tell me what's coming up next.
So right now, we've got a festival coming up, Yowie Festival, which is going to be really, really cool. It's a bit of a bush festival. So camping, which is always nice. And then... a little while after that, we've got a schoolies festival, so performing on the beach, which I think is pretty cool. I've never performed on the beach before. We'll have the final songs from the EP released, and that will be the whole EP then out into the world, which I think is amazing. And then from that point on, the whole process starts again. Writing, recording, getting music back into the world again.
Awesome. I look forward to hearing all this stuff. I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 5 minutes, 10 years, 20 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time. Understand that and recognize that, because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once you finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be about him?
Oh, that's a tough one. All right. I reckon one of them would be AC/DC. Probably the Dire Straits. Let's see who else do I have. I'm trying to look down my playlist and find my favorite ones. Oh, Cold Chisel, Pete Murray, 100%. And then probably the Eagles.
So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Keep supporting live music, because it's getting harder and harder to do it as an artist. So if you're a fan of any of local artists, please make it known to them. Talk to them. Send them messages. Let them know that they're doing a good job, because it's not as easy as it once was. Thank you for supporting myself and my music. So if you come across me and you like this podcast and you like what you hear, send me a message on Katanak Music for Instagram. I'm always up for a chat, and I love talking.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook @CelebSavant. That's CelebSavant.